Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vanta. Are you building a business? Achieving compliance with frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2 can help you win bigger deals, enter new markets, and deepen trust with customers. But this can also cost you real time and money. Vanta rhymes with Santa. Automates up to 90% of the work for the most in-demand frameworks, helping businesses get compliant quickly. And with over 300 integrations, you can easily monitor and secure the tools your businesses rely on. Join over 7,000 fast-growing companies that use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. To learn more about how Vanta works and to get 20% off, visit vanta.com/EU startups. That's vanta.com/EU startups. Now, kick back and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Kim Lecha. Kim is the CEO of Typeform, a refreshingly different form builder that helps you collect zero-party data while providing a stellar brand experience. Kim is a business executive with over 20 years experience in high-growth companies, including mobile gaming, e-commerce, SaaS, online classified ads, and other technology-enabled businesses. Everyone, give it up for Kim. Kim, amazing to have you on the show.
Thank you, Marcin. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Kim, awesome to have you. Before we dive into Typeform and all the exciting stuff, what's fun fact or a story about you that our listeners might not know?
A fun story?
Yeah, or a fact about you that our listeners may not know.
Wow. So, I guess that maybe for me, a fun moment is when, so back in 2017, I met David and Robert. I was coming back from the Stanford Executive Program. I was thinking about the second stage of my life, right? So I had been working since the age of 21, and at that point I was 44, so I had been working for 23 years. But then there were still, you know, the official pension age in Spain is 70, so I had another 23 years ahead. So I was kind of in the middle, right? So yeah. I thought, I'm not at the end of my career. I'm actually in the equator line of my career. Mm-hmm. How can I make the second half better than the first half? So I came back from that program. I met David and Robert. We were engaging every 15 days, having a conversation around startups and how to grow startups, and so on and so forth. And eventually I decided to move on from my previous employer, and they said, why don't you join us, right? So what came up to be is a little bit circumstantial, a little bit by luck, that I could start working at Typeform August 31st of 2018. And that was a very, very specific date that I chose, because September 1st is my birthday, and I wanted to give myself, as a present, a new exciting project. So I think that, let's say, working at Typeform has been, let's say, it was my present back in 2018.
Sounds good. It turned out as a great gift, I guess. Kim, yes. You've been on quite the journey with Typeform, you know, redefining digital interactions. Can you share a pivotal moment or, again, a story that encapsulates the essence of Typeform's mission to make online interactions more human?
Yes. So I guess that I could speak about plenty of things. Maybe that the ones that come to mind first is, one, its foundation, right? So we wouldn't be here without David and Robert and their very original idea. Yeah. It was about, you know, that interaction between humans and technology, and how that interaction let's say, was as human as possible, right? So in this case, the idea was, why collecting information from humans is not as a conversation it is, right? Between two people, right? So that was a pivotal moment, right? We wouldn't be here without them. The second moment, a bit later, we realized the importance of more and more customers using our technology. So we kind of declared that was our one goal. And so we put our efforts in growing as many customers as possible. We have today more than 150,000 of them. And there was a point also, maybe a fun fact, when we spoke in the company about having more customers than the ones you could sit in Camp Nou, right? Because it's a very big soccer stadium. And so that was kind of a milestone that we wanted, right? And we went past that. We have more than 150,000 today.
Yeah.
And that scalability of the business is also pivotal, because we want to make this available to as many people as possible. And the third one, I think it's still ongoing, or it will always be ongoing, which is adding new types and modes of interaction. Mm-hmm. So we started with, you know, a question that you would type the answer, a form, right? Then you think about that in a mobile experience, and then maybe you don't type, or not always, you kind of select from a multiple choice. We've been exploring video. We have video ask, so you cannot get more personal than with video, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been exploring with voice, and we've been exploring with, you know, AI-enabled conversations as well, right? So I think that's also something that is very important for Typeform, offering these different types and modes to make that experience the best experience possible for the respondent.
Awesome. Kim, so let's talk about zero-party data. So zero-party data sounds like a cool tech fiesta. For our listeners who might not be familiar, could you elaborate on what zero-party data is and, you know, how it's shaping the future of customer engagement?
Yeah, so zero-party data is basically the information that comes directly from the person, right? So it's provided directly by the human, by your audience, by your customer, your employee, etc. And this can be compared with other data that you can obtain, let's say, from third parties, right? So if you know my LinkedIn, for instance, then you know who I work for. And if you know who I work for, you can know things about that company, the size and number of employees or the industry, etc., right? So, and you can also get information by just observing what people do, for instance, heat maps in web pages, or when they click and there is a tracking link, right? So for us, zero-party data is very, very important, because it's the very best way to get to know your audience, and it's a great opportunity to engage with your audience. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about it, when you are observing somebody, you tend to understand well what is happening, but not always, not necessarily why it's happening.
Yeah.
So we believe that by engaging directly with your audience, you can ask what the person thinks about something, why the person did something, how the person decides between something, right? Mm-hmm. So for us, it's about knowing your audience, and you cannot know somebody if you don't talk to that person ever, right?
Right.
And then also use that moment to create a connection, to engage in a way that builds a relationship, that starts a relationship.
Awesome. Kim, so exciting times with the public launch of Formless, your AI-powered form builder. What sparked the idea, and how do you envision Formless transforming the landscape of online forms and customer interactions?
Yeah, so Formless is one of our various explorations into AI and Gen AI. We at Typeform believe that AI and Gen AI is as transformational as electricity or the internet has been. Mm-hmm. And so we embrace it fully. It's still in the early stages. All of this is still in the early stages. And so it's a great place to start exploring. So what we are trying to do with Formless is basically go back to the essence of our vision, right? So we always thought about Typeform as the best way for a machine synchronously online interact with people, right? With individuals, and make that as human as possible, right? Make that, and we always spoke about the one question at a time, for instance. So because the way humans speak is in conversations. You ask me something, I answer. Eventually, I can ask something, you answer, and this is the way we get to know each other. So that's how humans work, or let's say relate to each other and get to know each other. So AI and Formless as the first exploration into that is a way of having a conversation. And maybe the great thing about it is that not only the machine asks you, you can also ask the machine and you get answers, right? So it goes in both directions. Mm-hmm. It's not the only thing we do in AI. We are applying AI to our existing products to create better experiences. AI is also helping us, for instance, make sense of unstructured data. So one of the key elements, for instance, that is always being difficult is when you ask questions, you get answers. And the more engaged the respondent is, the longer the answer. Mm-hmm. When you have 1,000 of these respondents giving you long text answers, you have a lot of information, but it's very much unstructured. So one of the problems was, how do we get insights from this unstructured information? And the industry generally went one way, which is kind of try to structure it, right? So I would not ask you, Marcin, how are you feeling today? I would ask you, Marcin, how are you feeling today 1 to 10, right? Mm. Because that's easier. Then I can say, you know, I can plot that in a pie chart or in a trend line, because I have numbers. It's easier, right? But AI is helping us now also making a lot of better sense, or making good sense of what these unstructured data, these conversations come back with from, you know, thousands of respondents.
Awesome. So Kim, you know, in a world saturated with digital noise, Typeform has this fantastic vibe of making online interactions more human, as we already discussed, and creating more personal connections at scale. How do you strike the balance between leveraging the technology and keeping that, you know, authentic human touch?
Yes, it's a great question. I think that the thing between humans and technology is the design, right? Mm-hmm. As a concept, it goes beyond how it looks. It's also and mostly how it feels, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is also, let's say, Typeform's DNA coming from Typeform's parents, David and Robert. Design has always been important. How can we make something simpler for both the respondent and the creator, right? Mm-hmm. So how the respondent will experience that in a way that is very, very personalized. And I think that is very important. So we crave as humans to be, you know, valued for our uniqueness, right? So when you get you fly or you do an experience and you get an email that says, "Dear sir, ma'am, 1 to 10, how was your experience?" It's like, well, this one is not great, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like you know me. I was there, I flew, mm-hmm. You know, my seat, you know, if I even bought something, but you're not using anything. And then, so I lose trust that this is gonna make my life better anyways, mm-hmm. right? So, and so that's on the respondent side. And then on the creator side is about making it super, super easy, right? So I think time to value there is absolutely critical.
Well, sounds good. So Kim, maybe beyond the numbers, let's maybe what this you know, because I know that now is going to be kind of a time to talk about the money. It's like I call it money talk. So beyond the numbers, like what does this funding round mean for Typeform's growth trajectory and the evolution of your platform? And can you share some lessons learned from this fundraising experience?
Yes. So we've been through a number of funding rounds, except for Series C. So the previous ones were before my time. So I came into Typeform when Typeform already had great shareholders and had already gone through, you know, the seed venture Series A and Series B. Mm-hmm. And then during the last half of 2021, and we actually fully closed it and also made it public in February of 2022, we also rose Series C, right? What I think is that funding money gives opportunity. So one of the things I was looking at is we have a big ambition. We want to build a very, very consequential company. And when I look at other startups, other scale-ups, other highly successful companies, they have gone through a number of these rounds. Yeah. They have had, let's say, the capacity to then invest, right? And they have had those options. You know, I have the money, I can invest, I have the option of growing in this area or that area, right? So that's one thing. I think we were fortunate in trying to do that at the moment where, you know, both the company and the market were in a great position, right? So, and that's important. There are some of these sentences that sometimes say, you know, you have to go to the bank when you don't need the bank, or, you know, go raise money when you don't actually need the money.
Yeah.
Because that's probably a time where you know, the market is there, is ready. You as a company, you're also there and ready. Mm-hmm. And if you are ready as a company, but the market is not there, it's just simply a lot more difficult, right? And then what was critical for us was to have clarity and full alignment with the board about the objectives of this round. So speaking with other founders and CEOs, you know, you can index on, you know, the highest valuation possible,
yeah,
or the most money possible, or things like, you know, who the investor is and what the investor will do, right? So some people would say, I prefer investors that if they don't even take a board seat, that's even better, right? Mm-hmm. But that was not how we thought about it. So we didn't want to maximize the valuation. We wanted an investor that would fit in the board with the other investors and board members. And especially we thought about, let's say, investors that could support us in the long term, right? So with a longer term horizons, investment horizons, and also with the capabilities to, if we wanted to even raise more or do more things, they could still, you know, support us in those next steps. Mm-hmm.
So, Kim, Typeform isn't just a tool, right? It's an experience. Like, how does the philosophy of, you know, thoughtful design, you talked about it a bit already, but how does this philosophy of thoughtful design extend beyond the aesthetics and impact the functionality of the product, you know, creating seamless experience for users?
I think a lot of that is about a concept of flow, right? So if you are a creator, you are responding or you are interacting, right, with that video or voice or AI enabled or classic form type of interaction, and it feels like a flow, right? So you are engaging, you're enjoying it, you feel that the next question kind of always makes sense based on what you said before, right? So I remember applying for insurance, and there was a question, you know, do you have kids? Yes, how many? One, age. At that point, Katarina was 13. And the next question was marital status. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense, right? So that's where the flow really, really breaks. So that's one of the ideas, right? And when you are a creator, a customer of us, and you're building that next interaction, you also find that flow in the fact that it's designed to make it easy for you to do the next step, right? And to kind of start, do it, finish it. And it seems like things are where they should be. It's easy for you to find these things. And there is a concept of superpowers, right? So you use the tool and it's like, wow, I did this, right? So we always thought about giving the design and engineering superpowers to the customer. You don't need to be a designer. You will make things that are really beautiful. And you don't need to be an engineer, because without coding, you will also be able to do that. And,
right.
And one of the things that helps us a lot is exactly what I said, that pivotal moment when we started, you know, focusing on having lots of customers, because every customer creates forms. These forms are shared with, you know, hundreds of people. And so up to now, we have, Typeform has enabled 8 million forms in its history, and almost 3 billion total responses. So we know what works, right?
Right.
And so we can design things thinking about how to make it super easy and how to, you know, provide these superpowers to the creator, and to provide that, let's say, flowy, nice, conversational, human-like type of experience to the respondent.
Sounds awesome. Kim, so speaking of superpowers, leadership seems to be one of your superpowers. And leadership isn't always smooth sailing. And you've navigated, you know, the tech waters for over 20 years. What challenges have you faced, and what are the most valuable lessons that you've learned?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, some of those sentences that says that the overnight success, or, you know, the linear path to success is not true, right? So that resonates a lot, because there's a lot of cycles, ups and downs, and difficult moments. So it's a lot messier than one would maybe think when looking at it from outside. It is also kind of freeing to understand that this is the way it is, right? So it's not easy, right? It can be simple. A lot of things can be simple, but that doesn't make them easy. They are still difficult, right?
Yeah.
So when I think about leadership and think about, let's say, other CEOs and founders and our conversations, to me, it's about having clarity of vision, right? So what are you trying to solve? And is it worth solving, right? Is it a worthwhile problem or opportunity? So that's important. Have that in mind. Work towards that. And then when you work towards that, there's an element of courage, right? Based on strong confidence,
yeah,
and grit, because it's not easy. And that also relates with the leader, CEO, the founder, and other leaders in the organization, to make the tough calls, right? So a leader needs to be courageous to make the decisions that nobody else in the company or in that department wants to make, right? So, for instance, should we go left or right, right? And sometimes you have to make those decisions without perfect information, and knowing that if you make a mistake, you will be the ultimate responsible for that mistake, and that could be a very costly mistake for the company, because it's some decisions are not that easy to come back from, right? So in that sense, I think courage and, you know, clarity of vision are two of the things that I would definitely speak about. And then help the team execute, because startups, scale-ups, we need to move fast. We need to get things done. And that's I think, more than half of the win there, right? So just to move fast and trying to help the customer, trying to solve the problem or give the customer that opportunity that you think it's worthwhile engaging with.
Awesome. Looking ahead, how do you envision the future of digital interaction between brands and audiences? Are there, you know, any emerging trends or technologies that you believe will redefine the way we connect online?
Yeah. So one of the things that I absolutely believe is we are trending towards a world of increasing online asynchronous interactions, right? So what we are doing online nowadays, we'll keep doing online, right? And what is asynchronous, meaning you don't have a one-to-one human type of interaction, we'll only continue like that, because it's more efficient, it's more flexible, it's a scalable, right? And so this world of asynchronous online interactions is a trend. It's not gonna stop. I would say that for me, what we will see is more of these multimodal, multi-channel type of interactions. So sometimes it's better to interact using your smartphone. Sometimes it's better to interact. Maybe we will, you know, start seeing other channels like, I don't know, Alexas and goggles, like I don't know, the new goggles by Meta or Apple. So this will open up opportunities, and for me, the other thing for me is that it's gonna be AI enabled. So as I said, AI is super transformational, and that will happen. All in the purpose of making this a more personalized, let's say, experience for every individual, right? So, like, for instance, we work a lot with marketers. One of the sentences they've been saying for many, many years is the right message to the right person at the right time. And I think we are still working in, we're still in the journey to that, right? So these are kind of the trends. I see more of this, AI enabled, more personalized, for sure, in new types and modes of interactions.
You mentioned personalization, which was like kind of I wanted to ask something that I wanted to ask about next. So zooming into the heart of Typeform, which seems to be the exactly personalization, Kim, how do you you know, make customers, not just customers, how do you make like your users not just customers, but actually true fans of the brand, you know, and of the brands who are using your platform?
So when we think about the customer, I mean, first of all, that concept of superpowers, you know. So we are multidimensional. I mean, we are parents, we are friends, we are customers, we are also professionals. Mm-hmm. And so in that dimension of being, or in that persona that we are as professionals, we want to feel empowered and we want to feel very competent and capable, right? So in the same way that we want to be, I don't know, the super person or the superhero to our kids, we also want to be a superhero in our company, right? And so to truly, I mean, if we focus on that and we become truly and absolutely customer-centric, so we know our customer, we understand the customer, we work to make the customer lives better, right? To give them these superpowers, right?
Yeah.
That's, I think customers will always, let's say, reward that mm-hmm. with their loyalty and with their highest appreciation, right? So, so I'm very customer driven. Mm-hmm. I part of what we want to do basically is to give them the opportunity to also be as customer driven, know your customer, create the very best moments of truth with your most valuable audiences, and be a hero in doing that, right? So that's, we want their appreciation and we want to help them get the appreciation of their customers, for instance.
100%. Kim, moving from personalization to personal life, what is Kim all about outside of the business world? Like when you're not a CEO of Typeform and like, you know, trying to make lives of all those customers better, how do you unwind? Like, do you have any hobbies or guilty pleasures that you would like to confess to us? What is Kim all about?
So one of my mental models is based on three circles, right? So there's the professional one, there's the personal, social, family one, and then there's the me one, right? I think it's important to have a me because we can devote all our time to work and others. It's also important to devote time to oneself. Even in the professional one, I would say there's always ultimate or bigger kind of idea. So when I was younger, for instance, I left the job because I was going to get married, and the job and marriage would not fit well because I was traveling too much. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to get married and live in Barcelona, and I couldn't find a good job. And for many years, I was a freelancer. So I thought, well, if I cannot find a job that I like, I'll create my job, right?
Right.
And so that's what I did. But what I took from that moment was hopefully one day, Barcelona, Spain, you know, if you want to work here, you can find work, right? And so I thought that, for instance, this new innovation, startup economy is a great opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And so while I think about Typeform and I work for Typeform, one of the positive, let's say, externalities for me is, can we help others? Can we inspire others? Can we, let's say, maybe eventually help this ecosystem grow? Because then my daughter, when she finishes studying or when she finishes whatever she wants to do and starts working, she will be able to, you know, find many opportunities, right?
Right.
And so that's one thing that besides, let's say, working at Typeform, I try to engage with. And it's still somehow professional, but mm-hmm. not completely, right? And then on the personal side, of course, you know, I'm a father. I have a 16-year-old daughter. So spending time, and I would say more quality than quantity time, right? Because, you know, we have, I travel a lot. I work a lot. I don't think you can do great things without actually sweating your shirt a lot, right? So you really need to put a lot of intensity. But then I try to also be there present with a lot of quality, right? And I am a cyclist. I love outdoors. I love mountain biking especially. I think there's a lot of connection with that, right? Because it's a social activity. You go with friends. And it takes that grit, that effort, but then you enjoy a lot going downhill, for instance. And so that's a bit who I am. I love to read. Part of my me is reading, is also reflecting on what I'm living. So what I would say, I think it comes from a well-known VC that said, you don't learn from experiences, you learn from reflecting on your experiences. So, you know, have time to read things and to also reflect on your experiences. And, you know, travel. I think, like you, I love to travel, get to know new people, experience new things. I'm a foodie. So I also like to, you know, walk cities and then sit and have whatever is. I was recently in Lisboa, you know, have a pastel de Belém. Experience life, I guess.
Sounds amazing. Thanks so much, Kim. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And I wish you all the best. We had so much fun talking to you. Hope to see you soon in Barcelona when you come. And
Absolutely, Martin. I'll tell you when I'm there. Thank you. It was great. Thank you so much.